The Lord will speak to you from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And before we go here, I want to just note that the reason we're turning to this text tonight is because we had a topical sermon this morning. Instead of continuing in our exegesis through Numbers in the morning, usually when I do that, I find it appropriate to do a topical sermon also at night. So we're refraining from continuing in the Gospel of Matthew at the moment. And I'm turning here to 1 Samuel verse 6 because recently in family worship, we revisited 1 Samuel and recently completed it. And verse 6 really stood out to us as, wow, that is just, that's really helpful to see. That's really helpful to remember to do. And at that time, I said, boy, I wonder if I should preach on that this Lord's Day. I said, no, I think I'll stay with where we are. I'll try to remember in the future to come to it. So I've come to it tonight, trying to keep it brief, trying not to spend too much time on it, and just give you a few thoughts that I hope will bless you. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. But what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of context, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. But our text tonight is verse 6 for the sermon. Hear now the word of God. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let me read verse 6 again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And especially that last part of the verse is why we're here tonight. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let me ask you a question. When you are in the depths of depression, what should you do? When you are in the depths of depression, where should you go? To whom should you go? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. We need to be reminded of this, for so often when we are depressed, we don't do that. David is giving us an example in an extreme situation where he might have easily distracted him and ran around with other things. He stops and he encourages himself in the Lord. David deals with discouragement by strengthening himself in God. To drudge up the depths of yourself only drags you down lower. You need to be remembering Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Don't stay discouraged. Now, the message is not telling you not to be discouraged. There are very discouraging things that will happen to you, very really disappointing problems. But the message is, don't stay discouraged. Deal with it. How do you deal with it? Encourage yourself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He is your example. Beloved, as you face depression and you face discouraging things, encourage yourself in the Lord. That is the message for you this evening. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I think most of you know a few months ago, I had some real problems with kidney stones. And one of the times, actually twice, it was actually on the church premises. The first time I didn't realize it, but I had to kind of walk after the Puritan feast. I had to walk around the parking lot for a while. Fernanda came out to kind of help me along, and I just couldn't get comfortable. I had to sit and stand certain ways. And then when we were, I think it was in May, when we were doing the yard work and the cleaning of the church, it just hit me horribly. And I was for hours on the floor in the fireside room, and then here, I was just, all I could do was try to walk. I'd have to bend over. I'd be on the floor often. I couldn't do anything. It was unbelievable. I'd never experienced anything like it. I did drink a lot of water, but mainly I just kept asking God for help. My poor children watching, I mean, I was just writhing in pain on the floor, just crying out, God, please help me. And he did. Well, why do I mention that? When it says David was greatly distressed in our verse tonight, he was greatly distressed. The Hebrew word for distressed, you could translate it cramped. It's like he had this horrible cramping. And when we have this horrible cramping inside our pains, we're like, oh, we can barely move. You know, try to picture that's, he's greatly distressed. He's really cramped up with discouragement and despair. He's bowled over. He's practically paralyzed. You see, despair can be debilitating, no doubt about it. But David got up. And David ended up defeating the Amalekites the rest of the chapter. He's in great despair. He's cramped up. But then he goes and defeats these Amalekites who have been a significant reason he's in such discouragement right now. How did he get up after being so knocked over with such cramping of despair and discouragement? How did he get himself up? How did he do it? Well, in his weakness, you see, he's become very weak. In his weakness, he strengthened himself. The Hebrew word for encourage could be translated strengthened. So he was very weak, cramped up in the weakness of despair. But he strengthens himself out of it. How? He encourages himself. He strengthens himself in the Lord. Notice, not his own strength. Remember, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He does not say, I can do this in my own strength, but I can do it in the strength of Christ. How does he encourage himself? How does he strengthen himself in the Lord? Well, so often David's own psalms, just like the prophets, sing, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. And remember Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. David gives examples for us to follow, the way for you to deal with your times of great distress. He prays and he sings to God in repentance. That's the whole Psalter, and he wrote most of it. And as he sings, he's very often coming with this sense of discouragement, this often being attacked many times by people, sometimes by Saul. And he sometimes is just dealing with the discouragement of his own sins. And he comes to God with repentance, with recommitment, and resolve by singing and praying to God. Here are some psalms he offers to you to sing and pray to God and strengthen yourself in God, lifting your eyes up unto him to be strengthened by his strength. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou so disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now notice he wants to praise the Lord, and he knows that will be his strength. God will give him God's countenance. He needs God's countenance, not his own. Now, remember, I think it bears repeating. I know we've looked at that before. He says the same thing pretty much, although there's a bit of a crescendo in the idea, the way he speaks. He says the same thing in verse 11. And then in Psalm 43 that comes next, he says the same thing again in verse 5. Three times so close together, he says, "Why am I so down? Hope in God. Praise God. And he'll be my help and he'll strengthen me and I can do this." He's not saying it's wrong to be discouraged. He's saying, so what am I going to do? Stay discouraged? No, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. He offers you another one. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Now, that's part of his problem. We'll see in a moment why he's in the predicament he's in. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Now again, notice that David's despair, his discouragement, his distress, his great distress is quite legitimate. What do you see in the verse? His companions that have left Israel to stay with him and follow him in Ziklag and in this foreign land, they want to kill him. All these people that have come to be his companions and comfort him as he avoids King Saul trying to kill him, now they want to kill him. He might say, wherever I go, people want to kill me. But why do they want to kill him? This is what was particularly interesting in family worship, to look at the context. Why do they want to kill him? Well, David had brought the situation on himself. And he had brought this situation on them. His despair would also surely be self-loathing. They can't stand him, and he probably can't stand himself right now. First of all, their women and their children have been taken by the Amalekites, verses 1 to 5 of the chapter we read tonight. They're coming back. They were going to go to war. They're coming back, he and his warriors, and the city is burned up by fire, and the women and children are gone. And so his own men are crying and crying till they can't cry anymore. They think maybe their women and children are dead. And those women and children should not have been left alone. They should especially not have been left alone without guard in a foreign land. Of all places, the land of the Philistines. That's where Goliath came from. You remember David earlier fights the Philistines, fights Goliath. He shouldn't be leaving these women and children alone in this foreign land around all of God's enemies, especially the Philistines. Why did the Amalekites attack Ziklag? Why did they come and attack while David was gone? To avenge David. To get revenge. Well, what do you mean? Because David had viciously raided them while he's living in Ziklag. And when he raids them, he kills all their women and children. He doesn't leave anyone alive. And then he lies about it to the king of the Philistines. He says, oh, I'm invading this area of the south, giving the impression he's invading his own people, the Israelites. So he's lying. He's going around killing all these people. So the Amalekites have come to get revenge. That's chapter 27, verses 8 through 11. As far as David and his men know, for a while, all the women and children might be dead. After all, that's what they did to the Amalekites. And why did he leave them alone? Why were they not there in Ziklag anyways? David took his men with him to fight with the Philistines. But listen to what I said. He went to fight with the Philistines. That doesn't mean he went to fight against them. He went to fight with them. He went to join their army and fight. And who were the Philistines going to fight with? The Israelites, God's people, David's people, who he is supposed to be king of. And he's joining the Philistines and he's going to go fight his own people. Thankfully, the Philistine elders said to the king, "No, we can't trust David and his men. They're going to turn against us. Send them back." So thankfully, in God's providence, David is sent back to Ziklag. But that's the reason he's not there, to protect his women and children. What is he doing going to war against his own people? With the Philistines, of all people. Why fight with the Philistines? He's living with them. He's living with them. These companions that have come with him, he's living with the Philistines, and later the king gives him Ziklag. So he's kind of becoming familiar with them. He's done this before. Now let's turn back to chapter 27 and see what's really going on here. What's the problem? Why is this happening, and why is David discouraged even with himself? Look at verses 1 to 7 of chapter 27. "And David said in his heart, 'I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.' And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men, and were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, 'If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?' Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months." Now, think about it. He leaves, he runs away to live with the Philistines, a people that are constantly giving God's people problems. Again, Goliath was the Philistine. The whole battle there with Saul, and David wins against the Philistines. Now he goes to live with the Philistines. Why? Because he's afraid of Saul. Saul is just constantly trying to hurt him and kill him. And so David grew weak in the waiting. David knew he was anointed to be the successor of Saul. David knew that he was God's anointed and would be king. So he had to know that God would protect him, as he had been protecting him. He didn't need to run to the foreign land where are God's enemies. But because he became weak in the waiting, he began trusting in his own strength and taking things into his own hands by running away from the trials. Ray Pritchard summarizes the scene this way, I think very helpful. He says this: "What started with discouragement led to desperation, which led to defection, which led to disobedience, which culminated in disaster." David was their leader, and he had recently been a selfish leader and a dangerous one. So David knew they had reason to want to stone him. We're not going to consider whether they should be wanting to stone him, but he understands they have good reason to want to. As far as they know at this point, all of their families are dead. Because David brought us to this place, and David brought us to attack and kill their women and children, and David brought us out to fight with the Philistines. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't have left them. We come back, they're gone. They're probably dead. They're all crying themselves to the point of not being able to cry anymore, and they want to kill him because they think he's responsible for them being dead. And I think he essentially says, what can I say? Maybe you're right. He may have wanted to throw the first stone. He may have wanted to lift up his hands and walk out of the camp into the desert and die. Some people do that. But what did he do? Instead, David turned back to God, and thus he turned things around. You see that? He brought this upon himself. He brought it upon the people. He's in this horrible situation because of weak time of leadership, and he turns it around by turning himself back to God. And the next chapter, the end of the first book, God took care of Saul. The Philistines do go and kill him. But David didn't have to be part of it and sin to start his kingdom that way. Think about this, though. With that context explained, probably the most discouraging times you can have is when you have brought it upon others, and thus you have brought it upon yourself, and you know you deserve it. You know you deserve God's displeasure and discipline. You know you deserve the people to be against you. You know you deserve your own depression and discouragement. Then what? Follow David's example. As taught by Dr. Sproul this morning in the Sabbath class video, when he gave the context of Psalm 51, and then David's response in Psalm 51. Go to God for grace. Go to God for mercy. What else can you do? You are not going to turn it around by yourself. You're not going to fix it by penance. God will fix it through your repentance. Even when your sins are against him, against his people, and they are the cause of your distress. Turn to another example, Psalm 73, although not written by David. I think it kind of describes our verse and its context quite nicely and how you should respond to such things, especially when you have to deal with yourself. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let that be how you turn yourself back to God, especially when your greatest discouragement is because you've brought it upon yourself. Don't deal with your sins against Jesus like Judas. He hung himself. Deal with your sins against Jesus like Peter, who wept bitterly and turned back to God, turned back to Christ, and was forgiven and was restored. Are you discouraged? Do you have good reason to be discouraged? Do you experience self-inflicted suffering brought on by those that you have selfishly caused to suffer? What should you do about it? What should you do about you? Take yourself to the Lord. for your sake, for the sake of everyone else that you are affecting. You don't do anyone any good by running from God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. If David can do it in that context, whatever you're going through, you too can encourage yourself in the Lord. And beloved, you have no other option if you're ever going to snap out of whatever it is. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we do confess our sins and how we have brought many discouragements upon ourselves and others. And sometimes we can be almost cramped up with distress over a present situation we feel we cannot get ourselves out of. And some try by suicide. Some try by abandonment. Some seek the strength of chariots and horses, but we seek the Lord our God. Lord, we turn to you now for encouragement. We lay our distresses and discouragements at your feet, and we seek your strength. For we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Let the joy of our Lord be our strength. Let us say tonight, as we walk away, having come discouraged with different things that we know, let us walk away saying, though I was foolish and as a beast, it was good for me to draw near to God. For only God is my strength and my portion. My flesh and my heart fail. In heaven and in earth, I only have God. God is my everything. God is our all. Oh Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace, and that you call us to bring ourselves to you. Oh Lord, let us indeed have this regular song and prayer on our lips. Why am I cast down, my soul? Why am I so distressed inside? Let me hope in God. I will yet praise you, O Lord, for the help of your countenance. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.